Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, April 20th, and this is the meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. And I will call the meeting to order, and we are missing one individual. Chris Parker will not be joining us this evening, but otherwise we have a quorum, so we're ready to proceed. We'll start with a moment of silence. Okay, announcements. I would like to announce that we have a vacancy on the PWAB board, and we are recruiting. So anybody out there who might be interested in joining us, please send in an application. Would that be to the city clerk?
Correct. And if you had questions or needed an application, contact the city clerk, 772-6205. I was trying to look real quickly on the website to see if that information's on the website. It may or may not. But I would contact the city clerk for the position that's available, what it entails, and an application, and then the due dates for when the application is to be turned in, and then the dates for when the council would be holding interviews for that.
Great. Thank you, Janine. Yes. Well, so anybody out there who's interested, we'd love to have you. It's a great opportunity to learn so much about your city government. We don't have any presentations, but we will open public comment period, and this is for anybody who wishes to speak on an item that is not on our agenda.
May I make an announcement as well?
Oh, you may. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, please, go ahead.
I just want to let everyone know that Estero Bay Radio, 97.3 The Rock, is our local community nonprofit, non-commercial radio station. And it has been on the air at 97.3 FM for 2 years now. We are hitting our second anniversary. And in preparation of our third year broadcasting and serving the community, we are in the middle of our fund drive right now. So we are looking for generous tax-deductible donations to keep the station running on the air. It is nonprofit. All of the staff is completely volunteer, so it's quite a labor of love serving the community. You can find out more about some of the items we have that are up for auction, as well as how to make a secured donation by going to the website. It is esterobayradio.com or esterobayradio.org, and you'll see the information there on how to click and make a donation and see some of our items that are up for auction. Also, we'll wrap up the days of the fund drive on May 13th, Friday the 13th, with a festive concert happening right here at the Veterans Hall. A lot of local bands will be in the lineup. It's free to the public to come on in. Everyone's welcome. Those 21 and over will have adult beverages available as well. And while it is free to get in the door, we are certainly having the donation jar around. So once again, it's a fundraiser and the wrap-up to our fund drive this year to keep 97.3 The Rock on the air for another year serving the Estero Bay community. Thanks.
Well, that was coincidental. I was wearing my The Rock t-shirt all day today.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Dave. Any other announcements? I should have let everyone have an opportunity to do this.
I have a little follow-up to the PWAB applications. I did find the application deadline is Friday, May 13th at 5 p.m.
Ah, another Friday the 13th deadline. Okay, great. Thank you, Janine. Okay. Go ahead with public comment.
Good evening, members of the board and staff. My name is Rick Deschler of Memorial Bay. I'd like to suggest that the next time you do some paving on Main Street under the overpass, the highway overpass, that you consider paving all the way to the northbound curb. Right now you have a concrete sidewalk, curb, and gutter, and the gutter ends up exactly in the center of the bicycle lane. And the asphalt meets the concrete, and it never matches. And that's a narrow spot under the overpass for both cars and bicycles. So you either have to bicycle on the left of center, right into, you know, crossing into the traffic lane, or to the right of center, and your pedal is probably going to hit the concrete curb. I realize curb and gutter standards were probably made up long, long ago before bicycle lanes were, you know, envisioned. But this being a more narrow bicycle lane, you hit this really rough patch. And what makes it, you know, even more dangerous is you're going from bright sunlight into a shadow area of the underpass. So maybe you and Planning Commission could work on the standards. I would say just go in there and cut out the concrete apron and just pave it, asphalt all the way to the curb. Thank you.
To make sure I understand, what you're saying is the lip of gutter is lower than the elevation of the asphalt adjacent to it. Is that correct?
It always deteriorates at the edge.
Right.
Where they meet, so you end up with this extremely rough ride.
And you're proposing to run the asphalt into the gutter all the way up to the face of the curb.
Yes, so that you have a smooth path.
Okay, I got you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Any other public comment? All right. We will close public comment. Consent calendar. Has everybody had an opportunity to read the minutes from our last meeting, March 16th? Mm-hmm. And if so, any comments or changes, corrections?
I was going to go ahead and approve the minutes as stated.
Okay, you're making a motion to
approve.
I have a comment.
Okay.
In reading through the density for housing and so on, that's a real confusing critter to me. And it was difficult to sort out, I'm sure, if you look at that chart and how we've got it crossed off and so on, it'd be nice to sort that out so it's a little more understandable about what it's based upon and so on. There's a link in there to it. And we saw that last time, and it's on the last one. So
okay.
It'd be nice to have some definition about what one unit is and so on to start with.
So would you like to propose that that be added to the minutes?
Yes, I'd propose that to be added to the minutes so we can sort through that and take a look at it.
Okay. And with that correction or addition, I should say, to the minutes, is there a second to approve?
I'll second.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Okay. Next item is the director's report. Unfortunately, we have a director, so
in the nick of time,
right in the nick of time. Were you watching at home?
No. I was deep in conversation with our city manager.
Okay, all right, you're excused. So, has everybody had an opportunity to read the director's report? And do we have any questions or comments? I will start with Jan this time.
I was glad to see that the Department of Water Resources increased our state water allocation from 10% to 45%. But and also, as I read farther, we're still being under conservation guidelines and stuff. But it was nice to know that there has been we would improve there. And I was also interested in the sidewalk installation part. Do you know where these sidewalks were planned to be?
We haven't finalized that plan, and we'll be bringing that forward in the near future to you.
Okay. That's it.
Okay. Steven.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Dave.
No questions from
all
me.
Right. Stu.
Thanks, staff, so much for getting some figures on who's calling in and putting them on a little report and so on and running a query on that. It'd be good to see a little more depth of information in there.
We're still exploring the report functions of this software to see what we can and can't do. This is kind of a basic report, but it has more ability to query deeper in there. We can see how long things have lingered on the... Mike Wilcox, our maintenance superintendent, is working on pulling those reports together.
Great. That's what I'm looking for. Let's see how long people have been hanging out there and what's going on. How many total requests do we have for potholes for the last 6 months or year and so on. And it's a good measurement of public sentiment and what we're doing with that.
Thank you. I just thought that perhaps, Rob, you'd like to talk a little bit about the Amgen tour for the folks out there.
Sure.
For folks that don't know, the Amgen Tour of California is a 8-day stage race, I believe, somewhere around there. This year it'll be going south to north. Typically they go north to south, starting in San Diego and working their way up to Northern California with a few events around Sacramento. Well, on day three, on May the 18th, the start will be at the Rock in Morro Bay, and they will proceed down the Embarcadero to Pacific Street, up to Maine, then all the way up Maine to Yerba Buena, where they'll actually start racing at that point. What they call the technical team calls, they'll be idling as they go through town, so they'll only be riding at 20 miles an hour as they go through town. When they hit Highway 1, their speed generally increases to about 30 miles an hour. He said right away you'll see a breakaway, and but they'll be caught before they reach the end of the races up at Laguna Seca, the motor speedway up there. So they'll finish on the track there, about 135-mile. It's called the Queen Stage. It's a very long stage for them. And these teams are, you know, the pro teams that race the European circuit are coming to the U.S. to race over here. So you'll probably see Peter Sagan, Alberto Contador, some other famous bike racers that I'm into the sport. So,
And just out of curiosity, I assume that the public could observe and watch.
Yes,
and
they're encouraged to observe and watch. The public can volunteer. The Amgen has a website where you can volunteer. So if you go to Amgen Tour California and up at the top, I believe there's a volunteer link that you can click on, and that link is also in our director's report to get
Thank
to.
You.
I got a quick question. The way they're going through the downtown area, it seems like they're probably blocking off the Embarcadero. You're going to have Main Street shut down for all intent and purpose.
For a short period of time.
Right. So people need to get in there before and can't leave till after, correct?
Correct. So they'll start the race at about 10:10.
Oh, okay.
They'll clear the city, I believe, by about 10:20. It's a pretty quick paced group.
But you'll have that blocked off where cars can't go.
So CHP will be the first lead out, and they'll be signaling to shut down the streets, basically. And then we'll have volunteers at driveways and PD at street intersections.
I was just trying to make clear that if you're down on the Embarcadero with your car, you may not be leaving till after it occurs.
The actual Embarcadero between Coast Guard to Pacific Street will be no parking for that morning of the event.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got one comment on that, too. I did sign up to be a course marshal or whatever they assigned me to do, but I've done that before. And I was a course marshal on Oak Creek Road and Highway 1, and it's an exciting thing to do. But they're asking for 200 volunteers. And I don't know how many they've got so far, but we do need to get enough volunteers for those listening out there to step up and do it. It's a lot of fun. They do give you a T-shirt and probably something bright to wear so you don't get accosted by a car.
Yeah, so I think we're a little north of 100 volunteers to date. So they could use a few more, and 200 is probably not the max. They'll accept other volunteers. I'm a member of the Slow Bike Club, and if anybody's interested, I believe you can go on their website, and they're having a ride to celebrate that. So they'll be leaving before the race, riding up somewhere on the North Coast to pick a wide spot in the road to watch them ride past from there. So slobc.org is the website, and they on the newsletter they'll have information about that ride. And if you're a non-member, you can pick one ride and go on it before you become a member. So opportunity there, too.
I did have one more question. It's not a question, actually. It's not right on that, but it's germane to it. Rick came in tonight speaking at the public speaking, and brought up the fact, a concern with the bike path lane under 1 on Main Street, which happens to be where the Amgen tour was running through. Unfortunately, you missed it. It was right before you walked in the door. But he brought up the fact that maybe it makes sense to go ahead, and when you do paving, to try and pave into the gutter lip all the way up to the face of curb, because I think there's a bit of, as he described it, there's problems with trying to keep your bike in a, it's a very narrow bike path lane that runs under the highway right there. And I don't know if that'll play into or if they're going to be on the opposite side of the street or not.
They've actually,
but I found it germane to what we're talking about right now, what Rick brought up earlier.
They've toured the course, and they say
they're good.
They're good with the course. When I asked him if the pavement was smooth enough, he reminded me these riders ride the cobbles of Paris, Roubaix, Flanders. These are good roads compared to some that they ride.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And I just have a follow-up question to ask you, Rob, about the request to the gas company for an explanation of the large spike in gas rates. And I'm just curious to know if you were able to contact them, and will they?
We haven't scheduled a meeting time yet.
Okay, so, but you've been in touch with them.
We've been in contact, yes.
Okay, great. Okay, well, if there's no other further questions for Rob, we will accept your report and move on to item B2. Which is consideration to approve Third Amendment to the Garbage, Recycling, and Green Waste Services Franchise Agreement. And I bet that Janine is going to handle this.
Yes. Thank you and good evening. As you mentioned tonight, you have consideration of approving the Third Amendment to the current Garbage, Recycling, and Green Waste Agreement that we have with Morro Bay Garbage Service. This is part two of a two-part series we have. Last September, you got to see the first part with this related to the organics short and long-term organics management in light of recent changes to regulations from various state organizations on how to handle the organics, including the now having to expand your programs to have the addition of food as well as the green in your organics management program. So last September you saw part one, which was dealing with rate increases that would start in 2016 and the expansion of the existing organics program to start including food waste, as well as eliminating the use of alternative of putting green waste on and using that as an alternative daily cover out at the landfill, as this is another regulation that had changed along with the other aspects of the organics program. And that's what happens within this county. So that was part one in the short term. Part two was the long term. How do we deal with the organics program in the long term? And the Morro Bay Garbage Services parent company, Waste Connections, they, in recognizing that there's going to be a need for a long-term solution, had gone ahead last spring and started to review what it is that they were going to want to do and presented to the IWMA board in May their plan for both the short-term and the long-term solution to the organics management issue. And for the long term, what they had done was issued a request for proposals of three different companies to handle the long-term processing collection of organics waste, which would also include food as well as the green. And they got proposals back, they evaluated those, and they decided they wanted to select HCI, which is Hitachi Zosen Inova, and selected them to construct a compo gas anaerobic digestion plant in San Luis Obispo County, specifically on part of their property in San Luis Obispo, where they already have land, they already have a building that could be utilized as part of the program. And So in order to do this, they would need to enter into a long-term agreement with HZI and guarantee a waste stream for 20 years from the time that the plant would become operational. And so looking at the target data by when that would have to occur, which would be January 1st of 2020, 20 years out from that would be through 2040. The city's current agreement expires at the end of 2023. So what this amendment, they've requested that the city extend our current agreement to match that 20-year guarantee. So what the city would need to do is extend the term by 17 years to get us through 2040 from our current term of 2023. Now, if for some reason the facility it doesn't happen, the facility is not built, and some other option is needed to be pursued for a long term, this amendment would be contingent on that. So if that does not occur, the extension does not occur, and the existing term through December of 2023 would remain in place until such time as some new option is designed, developed, and then we'll come back and see what we would need to do at that point. So with that, there was a couple of other items that we wanted to include in with the amendment. One of them is kind of a cleanup regarding vehicle age. Currently, the agreement states that no vehicle shall be older than 7 years, which for the type of vehicles that we're talking about, their useful lives are usually double that. So what that means is that more frequently these vehicles are needing to be purchased, those costs are needing to be amortized over a shorter period of time, and they're needing to come back for increases to the ratepayers on a more frequent basis for that amount. So by changing the term to something that's more appropriate to the useful life for that vehicle, which in this case we're proposing to put in and changing that term to be 12 years, that they're not buying the vehicles as frequently, they're having a longer period to amortize that cost over which, so the amount of increases that would be needed for that particular component would be less and over longer periods of time. The other item came in during discussions for the long-term organics program and the facility to be built, and that was the increasing of the number of public containers, public garbage and recycling containers that Morrobay Garbage currently collects per the contract for free. In the current agreement, that is 30 of each, and Morrobay Garbage Service has agreed to increase that number by 10, so that would be 40 garbage containers and 40 recycling containers that would be collected at no cost to the city. So there would be a small fiscal impact in that for those 10 additional containers, we would see about a $9,000 decrease in the annual cost for collection of those containers that we currently pay now. And so with that, staff is supportive of the comprehensive organics diversion program that Waste Connections, the parent company for Morrobay Garbage Service, has developed in response to changes in the composting regulations, the governor's goals for reducing greenhouse gas, and new state legislation that was enacted in 2014 related to organics management and the expansion to particularly include food waste now. So staff is recommending that the Public Works Advisory Board consider the amendment before you and recommends that the City Council adopt a resolution that would approve this third amendment with the garbage company to do the following three things. The first would be to add a section to the agreement extending the term by 17 years related to the long-term solution for construction of an organics processing facility in San Luis Obispo. The second being to change section 5.6.2A with regard to the vehicle age and stating that no vehicle shall be more than 12 years old. And then lastly, to increase the number of free public area garbage and recycling containers to 40 each in section 5.1. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the board for any questions or comments, and then a recommendation. And I would like to note that Pat Fenton with Morro Bay Garbage Service is here tonight in case you had any questions about the facility, the long-term plan, or the amendment. And with that, I'll turn it over to the board.
All right. Thank you very much, Janine. Any questions for Janine? Oh, let's start down here this time. Stu?
Janine, I can see one of the concerns about extending the life of the truck. I assume they just change the chassis and they keep the bed. Is that right, Rob? Or do you know? But
I believe they'd replace the entire vehicle.
Do they? I can understand why there's a concern, why there was in the past a concern with those vehicles, because I can hear the truck coming for two blocks or maybe three blocks away. And if they're early in the morning, it's kind of noisy. And I don't know if there's anything they can do with muffler systems on those to make them a little bit quieter, or perhaps the operators don't gun those engines as much as they do, although they do have to pick up the cans and so on, but I believe that would be a help for some of the comments that I've seen on that. Secondly, at one point I loaded the green waste cans that I have in front of our house on four or five of my neighbors with yucca trees or yucca leaves, and they don't take yucca for green waste because it's not biodegradable. Yuccas and palms are not biodegradable, and I did call them on this. And my question would be, if we're going to do the green waste composting and the rest of that in the anaerobic digester, does it digest yucca leaves and palm leaves too? Or should that be written in here that says, I got into a long discussion with waste management about that. Does it need to say in the thing except yucca and palm leaves because they're not digestible? That's what I have.
And I would defer to Pat in case he knows if there's been some new developments with regard to that or whether they would still not be able to be included as part of this process.
Good evening. Pat Fenton, Morro Bay Garbage Waste Connections. As far as, well, let me hit the noise thing first. We're, you know, these are big diesel trucks. They're older. And, you know, we do the best things we can for them. But when they're, a lot of that noise you hear is, it's not just the engines, they're packing. So as they're picking up garbage, they have to keep compacting it, or they'd be turning around and going to the landfill all the time. So that's part of the noise. As we go to the CNG type trucks, there will be less noise. They're not as loud. So that's how, when we replace the diesel trucks, they'll all be CNG. We're not going to use diesel anymore. As far as the yucca or anything else, that's one of the reasons we're forward thinking about what we want to do with composting. The windrows, like England Gray has in Santa Maria that we're using now, there's only so much they can do with it down there. But when we go to the compo gas facility, I don't see any problem with anything because it literally just grinds down to just like a liquid base. So I don't see any problem. When I went over to Zurich to look at what they were doing, it was eating just about everything. You know, with the exception of things that shouldn't be in there, like glass, tinfoil, those kind of things. But no, I don't see any problem with that. That's why we're looking out to the future, so we don't have to deal with the one-offs of a certain type of plant.
If I could just follow up on the noise issue, is there any relationship then between the age of the trucks and the noise, but rather it's the type of truck? So changing to an older fleet isn't going to affect the noise factor. Is that correct?
No. We do the best we can with them. They're just diesel trucks. And it's really the comp. You'd have to be, you know, around. It's when they compact. That's really the noise. And, you know, we have to get out, you know, for safety reasons, we have to be out early in the morning to avoid, you know, your tourists and the schools and everything else. So it's kind of one of those things that's been agreed upon for many, many years. It's just part of, you know, the doing business. But, you know, we're doing everything we can to keep the truck noise down. We really don't have that many complaints about it, to be honest with you.
Why don't you just stay there, and we'll see if we have other questions for you. We'll come, Dave?
Well, first off, I'd like to go on record as saying I like my garbage collection vehicles noisy because it gives me a heads up that I forgot to take my cans out to the curb the night before.
That helps.
And I have about one block's worth of time to run out there and get them out in time. So I'm okay with that. It doesn't really bother me. But I think the rest of these amendments to this seem very reasonable as far as both being attempts to cut the overhead and to fulfill the needs of the city. So I really don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Okay.
Stephen.
Yeah, I had a few. First of all, I come from a place where I had to take my own trash to the dump, so I welcome trash pickup every day of my life. I didn't understand the part. The presently, you have an agreement with them for seven-year-old vehicles, and you're extending it to 12, but I'm hearing these are older vehicles running the town right now. Are the vehicles in town right now less than 7 years old, or is this a new contract you're presently entering into? I thought it was revisions to an older contract.
It's revision to the existing contract.
Oh, okay, but the existing contract showed 7 years.
Correct.
You're allowing it to go to 12. Okay, which means probably you're going to see the same ones for a few years more in that additional.
Well, part of that reason, too, Janine can answer that, but it keeps the cost down for
no,
for
no,
the rate
I,
payers,
I follow the so, logic. Yeah. I just wonder, I wasn't sure if this was a new contract, revisions to an old contract kind of situation.
It's the current contract, but as Pat mentioned, when the new composting facility comes online, they're going to be transitioning to CNG vehicles. So
right.
Then it would become that 12-year right. period would be coming on those new CNG vehicles.
Which brings me to the next one. That was the they're increasing the free pickup, it sounds like, from 30 to 40 cans. Why would the city see a fiscal decrease in cost paid to them if it was free to begin with?
The 10 additional containers that are getting collected, we currently pay on.
I see. So you're getting 30 for free.
Free
you're
right
getting
now.
10
so that from 31 to 40, we're paying.
And so right in now. Order to allow them to go to the longer time period, they're trading off and allowing you to have. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Jan, any questions?
No, this all makes sense to me. I understand it all from the previous meeting, too, and since you have to be in compliance with the state requirements and stuff, I just have a question to show how ignorant I am on some things. If you're going, it says in here that if you make this other plant, that there will be a biogas fuel, which will be a clean energy source.
Mm-hmm.
Does that run in a CNG truck? Is that what the CNG is for?
What we're trying to do is we're trying to keep the cost down, which is the cost per ton with this Swiss Japanese company, if you will. We're looking at, like, for example, Southern California. They're paying $72 a ton plus, and we're staying down in the low 50s. So what we're trying to do is what makes the most sense. We're looking, and they're looking, into grants from the state. The state mandated all these things, but at the same time, they put grants out from time to time. So what we're looking at with them is which grants that are going to be released with the next 2 months make the most sense for both of us to go after. For example, the ethanol business, there's some really big players in there. So they've done some lobbying to get more money for the ethanol side than the CNG side. But at the same time, on the power side, because we're looking at doing both, creating electricity for the airport or putting it back into the PG&E grid, whichever makes the most sense of all those three options are what we're going to target. So we're basically looking to get the most bang out of the buck for grants from the state and from the Department of Energy. So that's one possibility. We're still obviously looking at that we could turn this stuff into fuel for our trucks, but it's not like we get the gas, the CNG, for free. We would do an agreement with CompoGas to fuel our trucks, like a 20-year hedge is what we would be looking at. But until we get to the final end and have an agreement with them, we can't go any further until we have the 20-year waste commitments. But once we get that from the remaining cities, then that's the next place we're going to go to. But I can't say for sure it's going to be CNG fuel. Not right now.
Okay. But you are looking into using it to, like you said, to sell it to the airport and stuff like that.
The electricity. We're right across from them. We're on the other side of the runway, and we've talked to the airport manager at length, and he's all for it. The big hurdle is getting through PG&E. That's that's something else right there. But, you know, we're all working with all these different sources. And the main thing we're trying to do is to keep the cost down, no matter what. We don't want to be going through what Southern California is going through right now. We want options, and that's what we're pursuing.
Okay. I'd like to follow up on that. Recently there was a rate increase, correct? Will that cover any additional costs associated with this project, or would you anticipate another rate increase?
I don't want to anticipate it. Like when we talked to the Compo Gas people, we were adamant that, you know, because then I would have to come back in front of you, and you don't want to see me, you know, in another couple of years, so I need 20%. That's why we're doing everything we can with the grant money, which is the biggest player, and then having enough of a waste stream. If we don't have a big enough waste stream, it's going to cost more. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to pack this digester with as much stuff as we can to keep the cost down, but I can't guarantee that. Okay. But we're doing our best. And if the grants come through, I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, Jan.
Along the line, when this goes into effect, will the homeowners be getting another recycle can?
Yeah, you'll be getting, well, you're going to be putting, I'm getting ready to order 52,000 of these little pails. I think I talked to you about that before. We're waiting for the rest of them to come on so we have a cheaper price, but you could put your food in that and then dump it into your regular green waste can, the one that you currently have.
Oh, green waste.
So your food waste will go into your green waste can.
Okay. Is it true that we should be doing that right now?
Well, your green waste is moving down there, but until the IWMA comes back and tells us, you know, just put it in there now. He's waiting on grant money from the state, and I talked to Bill Worrell as early as this morning, and that's the last piece because the county is going after a grant because once this food waste goes into our green waste containers, the county is no longer eligible for a grant. And that has nothing to do with us. It was delayed by the state.
So at this point, should we be recommending that people do not put food
if it's going in there already, I'm not even going to, you know, bother with it because it's going down to Engle and Gray anyway, and that was the short-term solution. So
okay,
they'll sort it out down there, and we're paying them anyway for it.
All right, and we'll have proper notification to the citizens on what they
correct.
Should
that's
be
what
doing.
I was going
to
just
yeah,
say. Yeah,
and the county's also the IWMA. They're going to be sending out to all your the commercial customers, the restaurants. They have a team that's going to go out and educate each and every one of them on how they're going to handle. I think the biggest issue is with the commercial customers, not so much with the residential customers.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Do we have anybody who would like to give public comment on this issue? Please.
Rick Dashler, Morro Bay. Good evening, members of the board and staff. I like the direction that these amendments are going. I don't really have any objections to that. Back in the olden days, back when we were starting recycling, we had a company called, I think it was Rock Solid, and they were not that efficient, but the one really valuable thing that they provided was competition. And at that time, as the companies were vying for the recycling side of it and green waste and everything. I believe our agreement with the garbage company ended up having an educational component included in the agreement. And it doesn't seem to be occurring anymore. The only education that I receive or am aware of is provided by the Integrated Waste Management Board. And when Stu, you know, had his question before, those are the sorts of things that really needs to be publicized by the garbage company. What can you put in any of the different barrels? So I would hope that you guys focus on that, especially when you're doing amendments, that you make sure that a good, solid educational program is included in the franchise agreement. I know I've gone to a lot of other communities, and they'll have these stickers on the top of the on top of the waste wheelers, and they'll indicate exactly what you can and can't put in. I think that would be something good for our community, too. I have neighbors that I have a rental next door, and different people come in. They have no idea. They don't know that, okay, you have to put your waste wheelers 2 feet apart. You know, all of these, you know, they say, why'd the truck go by? Didn't pick it up. Anyway, we used to have a fairly good educational program, and I hope that we would, you know, require the garbage company to get more involved in educating the public, not only on this new component, but on the existing components. Thank you.
Thank you. We will. Anybody else for public comment? Seeing none, we will close public comment on this issue and bring it back. Staff, can you address Rick's concern about education and what we're doing currently or what we might expect the garbage company to do?
Right. The comprehensive education, public education campaign and program that he was talking about was when it was actually for the recycling company when those contracts were separate and we had a separate contract for recycling and a separate contract for the garbage collection. When those two merged together, there is some education involved, but it's the comprehensive program that he's referring to was not part of that new consolidated agreement with everything. But we can certainly work with the garbage company on some of the issues that he did talk about, like what can go into my recycling container, how far apart do my containers need to be. I'm sure they may have something that's like that we can have them provide. We can put on the website. There is a page on the city's website for garbage and recycling, and we can have some. I think I may even have the recycling guidelines up there already, but we can certainly provide a little bit more and work with the garbage company on that. And then in reference to the stickers, like Mr. Deschler was talking about, we can work with the IWMA and see if there's grant funding of some sort, or they have some funding of some sort to be able to get something like that and start being able to put those on new containers that are going out.
Okay, thank you.
I got a quick question on what you just brought up. Mm-hmm. It would seem to me it'd be in the best interest of the Waste Connections company to educate, because I assume they're the ones who have to sort it out at the end of the day. Is that correct? Or does it go to somebody else who's doing the sorting?
Well, it goes to their facility in SLO, and I believe it's their employees that are doing the sorting.
So it seems to me it's almost, you know, they'd be the ones wanting to educate because they have to spend more effort trying to do it, more, say, than the city being involved necessarily in that. Because at the end of the day, they're having to take what's not recyclable and throwing it in the other piles.
Right.
So to speak.
It gets counted as, I think they call it residual or something.
Right.
Like
okay.
That.
Thank you.
All right, let's bring it back here for discussion. Any comments about the amendments?
I have no problem with what I read.
Jan is fine? Okay. Well, I guess we're all okay with the amendments. Can I have a motion to that effect?
Is this just a motion to just approve the amendment? Is that our recommendation, is to
To City Council to adopt a resolution approving the third amendment, including the sections included in
I make a motion that we send this to City Council so that they can approve the third amendment to the Garbage Recycling Green Waste Services Agreement with the Morro Bay Garbage Service.
Okay. I second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We will move on to item B3, which is a review and comments for the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments Self-Help Transportation Funding Initiative, which we've now all seen articles in the newspaper about, so we're looking forward to this.
Yes, and this item went to our City Council last week on April the 12th. Council requested that this be brought forward to the Public Works Advisory for more comments, and then in June, is it? The council will be seeing it again for final approval of this item. Let me get to the right item. I have some notes here.
That was so clever. Now I just have to get to them. So, you know, why is this needed? The self-help initiative will provide additional needed revenue for local street maintenance, community enhancement type projects, where examples that we put forward are the Centennial Embarcadero Downtown Connection as a community enhancement project, and perhaps the Embarcadero Promenade. It'll provide regional money for our improvements to the Highway 1, 41 Main Street intersection, and for the Cayucas to Morro Bay Bicycle Connector. It'll provide additional funds to our transit programs, and then fund Safe Routes to School project to get a better and more efficient way to get to Del Mar Elementary or local elementary school, either with improvements on Greenwood or San Jacinto. And what we're asking our Public Works Advisory Board to do is to, we have Stephanie Hicks here from SLOCOG. She's a program manager there. She'll be able to answer some questions. We'll go through their slide presentation that has information on the duration, the formula distribution, and safeguards of the program, and want to receive your input on that, and then also your input on the proposed short list of projects that we have going forward. The big portion of the pie that gets spent, and this will be revealed in a couple of slides, is 50% of the amount collected is for local streets and roads. So with that, I want Stephanie, do you have any opening remarks that you'd like to make?
No. Hi, Stephanie Hicks. I'm the public information officer for SLOCOG. Did you want me to walk through the PowerPoint?
Between the two of us, we could probably make it through this. Okay. Probably not as eloquently as Ron can, but
I've done it a couple times.
We'll give it a shot here.
So do you want me to start, Rob?
I should be.
Are you all familiar with San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and what we do?
Yeah.
Okay. We're the primary funding partner with the local jurisdictions in the county on transportation projects throughout the region that are state and federally funded.
For some reason, we're not advancing the slides.
Just need some self-help.
Maybe if you could announce on the microphone, maybe AGP can come out and get this working.
AGP, are you there? We need some help. Okay.
Don't seem to be able to advance the slides.
You maybe have to give this right off the cuff.
Maybe, perhaps.
Old technology.
I kind of have it memorized.
Yeah.
We got it.
Okay, here we go. So the reason we're here talking about self-help is because primarily the way that transportation is funded is through the gas tax. And the gas tax has remained the same since about 1993, okay? So in addition to that, you can imagine projects have gotten more expensive. So what was buying us something in 1993 is not necessarily buying us the same thing it is in 2016. In addition to that, the price of gas, as we all know and we all love, is really cheap right now. But when the gas price is cheap, it means less tax revenue. And in addition to that, consumption has gone down. So there's more fuel-efficient cars on the road, and so people are using less gas in general than they used to. So this presents a huge problem when we're trying to fund infrastructure transportation-type projects, including transit. So what we've seen... This is going to be kind of awkward. I'm going to turn this way so I can see when you're changing slides. With the funding, the steep decline in the gas tax funding, we've seen no legislative fix. There's pretty much a stalemate right now on the transportation spending package in Sacramento, unfortunately. What we've been told to do is apply for competitive state and federal grants, and especially at the state level, the way most of the grants are coming out, we're not super competitive for them right now because we don't happen to have things like disadvantaged communities that you see in the large urban areas or the absolute need, the immediate need for some of these projects. And so what we're finding is we're having a lot harder time competing for the competitive grants at the state level. We've lobbied. We continue to lobby. We have lobbyists in Sacramento that work with the coalition that represents all of the coastal COGS, which is what we are. And we seem to have gotten nowhere with that. So the answer that we've been given is continue to explore other options. And the main option that we've been exploring is becoming a self-help county.
I just want to add a little bit to that. The counties that are self-help have that opportunity to provide that local match that, like SB CAG, the Santa Barbara County, they're a self-help county, and they're much more competitive than we are because local match does play a lot into grant funding.
So, as I mentioned, there's 20 self-help counties in the state of California right now. That encompasses about 81% of the population of California that's living in self-help counties. So this isn't a new concept. It's being done all over the state. We are one of the 15 counties that it's aspiring. We're considered aspiring to be self-help. Right now, I believe there's 6 or 7 counties that are looking at being on the November ballot as we are. They're in the exact same boat as we are right now. The most interesting part about self-help counties is that last year self-help counties generated $4.5 billion in transportation investments. What we saw the biggest cut in most recently in our local region was our state highway funding. Last year there was about $1 billion in state highway improvement funds. So as you can see, the self-help counties are generating more than four times more in funding towards transportation projects than we could even try to get from the state. And on average, we program every 2 years our state highway improvement funds. We program about $3 million. Most recently, with our state highway improvement funds, we were anticipating programming about $15 million in the 15-16 programming cycle. $7 million of that was in reserves that we had set aside and not programmed on purpose because we wanted to put them towards some big projects that we had been working on for a long time, like the 101 South congestion through Shell Beach. And we were told not only would we not have access to that $7 million, but they were asking for $7 million back in pre-programmed funds. So from a regional perspective, that put a big pinch on us. We had recently went through the process with Aurora Grande on a project at Briscoe Road, and that became a little bit constrained. And so we're working through that right now, but it kind of puts into perspective how much things have changed for us. So what does self-help county mean for San Luis Obispo? So it means we have local funds for local priorities. The state and the feds cannot touch this money. It is ours to spend as we please, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. It creates about $25 million a year through a half-cent sales tax. Half the revenues in our county, because we are such a tourist county, is paid for by visitors who are coming to our county but are also using our roads and our infrastructure. As Rob mentioned, it gives us the ability to leverage competitive state and federal dollars, which is becoming increasingly more important as we go and chase these grants. It provides a transparent and guaranteed expenditure plan, as we'll get to in a minute. We have to outline exactly what we're going to be spending the money on so the public knows exactly what they're voting for. There's a number of safeguards that we'll have a slide on in a minute that ensure that the public is getting what they vote for if they choose to vote for this measure. And it allows us to expedite project delivery. So one of the problems we've seen in the last decade is that since the state funding is so difficult to forecast if it's actually going to be reliable or not, sometimes it makes it difficult for us to get projects done. So on the Los Osos Valley Road project, for instance, where we were a 50% funding partner, one of the reasons that project took over 10 years is because at one point we were relying on state dollars that didn't and were not going to come through. The city of San Luis Obispo ended up fronting some local dollars to get that project completed, but initially we were depending on state funding. So over the last, I think it was in December, our board gave us the green light to go out and start to engage the public on how what their priorities were and what this means to them and how they want to handle this situation. So we have worked with a consultant, and we have gone and done over 75 presentations in the last 3 to 4 months. We've talked to about 700 people. It covers the whole county. We've been in Morro Bay. We've been to your chamber. We've been to your Rotary. And what we've learned through that process, let me tell you the couple steps we did. We went out, we talked to people, then we went and did 4 focus groups. And we had a North Coast focus group, actually, in Morro Bay. We had one in North County, South County, Central County. We took the findings from the public engagement and the focus groups, and we went out and we conducted a statistically valid poll to figure out what the priorities of the public were and if they would support something like self-help in our county. What we found overwhelmingly is that the public is in strong support of local street and road maintenance funds, as I'm sure you guys hear a lot about potholes and people wanting their roads paved. The other thing we found is this county has a lot of support for bike and pedestrian projects, as I'm sure you also heard. I heard someone talking about riding their bike in here earlier. That's not something you find all over the state of California. It's a little unique to our county, but there was a lot of support for bike and ped projects. And then finally, an increase in transit services with specific attention paid to senior door-to-door type services scored very high with the public. So we went to our board after all of this public engagement with a conceptual investment plan for self-help. This would be based on a half-cent sales tax that would generate $25 million a year. The duration that we're recommending or that our consultant is recommending right now is a 9-year sunset date on the tax. When we went out and polled, we actually polled for a 20-year and a 25-year sunset date. We came back with findings of about 63.5% support. This is a supermajority vote where we need to achieve 67% support from the public. One of the things our consultant did was look at a recent poll that we had done within the last year where we actually did poll shorter durations, and we saw about a 10 to 12 point jump when we went from 20 to 10 years. The consultant actually recommended 9 years. It's a little bit even more appealing to the public, but they said 10 points is maybe a little bit much, but you probably can guarantee about 5 to 7 point increase, and so we're right there then at the 67% threshold. So we're looking at 9 years right now, half cent. That equals $225 million. The pie, as you can see, is 50% local road repair and transportation improvement funds. And that was the strongest message that we got from the public through our outreach, is that people really want their local roads fixed. With that, 25% is dedicated to regional projects, 15 to bike and ped safety and connectivity, and then 10 to public transportation. We'll talk a little bit more about those pieces of the pie. I mentioned earlier that there were safeguards attached to an expenditure plan like this. Some of those safeguards are the sunset date of 9 years, the specific expenditure plan, which is why we're here today to talk about projects. Administrative costs are set at a 1% max off the top. So 1% comes off the top for the regional agency SLOCOG to manage all of the projects. We work with every jurisdiction in the county, and that would help us do that. It would also help us work with our Citizen Oversight Committee, which I'll get to in a minute. It does ensure that development pays a fair share. There is a maintenance of effort, and that this money is supposed to be additional money that the jurisdictions are putting towards their street and roads, not to replace that money. It requires annual audits and reporting and an independent taxpayer citizen oversight committee, which I believe you have in Morro Bay as well. And we're working through the details on all of that with our partners like Rob and Janine through our TAC and through the city managers. And that will be presented to the SLOCOG board a little bit in May and then finalized in June. So the regional projects, We've split it into four categories, and I'll go really quickly through the top three, and then just talk. Rob can talk a little bit about number four if you want, Rob. Number one, we've identified for equity purposes four different regions of our county that we feel like we need to focus on with these projects. Shell Beach, Pismo Beach, congestion relief on 101. If any of you have ever sat in that traffic, peak hour commute traffic, it's not pretty. And it's also not cheap to fix. So that's probably our biggest project in the regional projects. Congestion relief in South Slow City area, that would include the 227, which is a carryover problem from the 101, of course, and then also connectivities, east-west connectivity issues for the city of San Luis Obispo on the southern end of town. North County highways 101 and 46 pop the most in our public engagement in terms of congestion issues. And then finally, North Coast Highway 1 improvements. As Rob mentioned, 141 is the regional project that would be identified as the North Coast project.
And this board has seen that project before. We brought to you the results of the ICE intersection control evaluation. Blank on what ICE means. It's Caltrans, so we have an acronym for everything in that parlance. We are still evaluating which makes more sense, signalization or roundabout. Roundabout is a nose ahead of signalization there, although it does cost more than signalization. What happens with signalization is we would be redoing that intersection in a few years because with signal control, we end up with signals that are too close to each other, and to blow out that bridge there to get a little bit more room is a high-dollar project. So that is that project. You'll be seeing that as it moves forward through the process.
Could I ask a question at this point?
Sure.
How much of this project would be paid for with this sales tax if it were to be approved?
Approximately $1 million of the project costs would be paid for.
Okay, so we'd still need to raise additional.
Yes, so we have some CMANC, which is congestion management air quality money that goes into the pot. And then, of course, Morro Bay needs to have some skin in the game also because it does affect us. So we'll also have a local match to that. Some of it will be paid through impact fees that we've collected and we've used to do preliminary design. And then our discretionary state highway funds that we can use for projects. We'll use a portion of that, and then there'll be some other funds that council will get to struggle with on how they pay for that.
But the majority of the regional projects would be spent elsewhere. So is that?
Well, my understanding is the Highway 141 project is fully funded. You're right. You're short.
We're short.
You're short the $1 million.
Yes.
So the $1 million completes the project, the funding scenario for that project.
Okay, thank you.
So the second piece of the pie is the 15% for bike and pedestrian safety and connectivity. Projects like that on a regional level would include the City of the Sea, Bob Jones Bike Trail, money towards the Atascadero-Templeton connector, and then the Morro Bay Cayucas connector, which is part of the coastal trail, I believe. And then there'll be a pot of money left in that 15%, which would be competitive region-wide that SLOCOG would manage and work with the local jurisdictions to come up with some other, more localized bike and ped projects.
And this board has also seen that project with a presentation from San Luis Obispo County Parks Department. Elizabeth Cavanaugh gave a presentation on that, and that project is constrained with due to not enough construction dollars to move that forward.
The next piece of the pie is the public transportation piece of the pie, and we just had some meetings today with Janine, your Morro Bay Transit representative, on this. The pie has changed a little bit from when this slide was created. When we first started doing outreach on this piece of the pie, we were assuming that 7% would go to fixed route, 2% would go to senior door-to-door type services, and 1% to transportation demand management, which has been shown to be a cost-effective way to maximize system efficiency, if you want to throw a bunch of transportation words in there. But what we are hearing now from the fixed route operators is that they, and what we've supports our input from the public, is that 6% to fixed route, 3% to senior and door-to-door transportation is a more likely scenario that allows the region to both fund local transit and regional transit and provide the door-to-door senior services that the public is asking for. I don't know if you want to add anything else to that, Janine.
No, that pretty much sums it up. The polling that was done, the senior door-to-door transportation was ranking really high, so that was the discussion that the local operators we were having as well. Maybe we should put a little bit more into that than the fixed route part. I think specifically because runabout, the ADA paratransit, complementary paratransit requirement to fixed route service, if we're increasing our fixed route services, runabout's going to need a little bit more. So I think that was part of the reasoning from the group to change that percentage a little bit.
And my favorite piece of the pie.
You want to talk about this piece?
This piece is for the vast majority of it is for improvement of local streets and roads. There is a set aside for community enhancement type projects, and we'll probably, it's a fairly modest amount and probably used to leverage other resources. So community enhancements would be like our project that we've just started, the connection between the Embarcadero and the downtown, that improvements to that corridor through there, and with another small modest amount that would be used to leverage other funds, the Safe Routes to School component, and we're looking at a project to serve our local elementary school around the Del Mar area, perhaps Greenwood or San Jacinto improvements is what we use that for. So in June of this year, we'll have an opportunity to dig into the details of local streets and road improvements when we have our annual street summit, although I don't think we have it the same month every year. We'll try to settle on a month, and maybe June is that month. It would make sense because we're getting into the good part on the coast to do paving, so good time of year anyway. Not for our visitors, but for weather-wise, it's always good to do paving. So this money will be used to leverage our other resources. So as Stephanie mentioned, there's a maintenance of effort. We can't just supplant what we do locally and propose to use this money. We need to maintain that level of effort. So it will supplement our existing approximately half million dollars a year for Measure Q, so that we have a more robust paving program. Probably won't be enough to solve the woes of Morro Bay. I think it's in the neighborhood of over $1 million to, if we had a PCI of 70, to maintain that PCI, pavement condition index, so, or grade on a 1 to 100 scale, 0 to 100 scale. So, but it does get us a ways down the road and puts more streets on that street summit list.
Can I ask just a quick question? Is this breakdown then mandatory between in the 50%? It's 36% local choice, 10%, or is that something that you have decided, Rob, or is that something that's mandated by?
That's something that is proposed to go forward to the voters.
Okay,
it's all local choice. Let me just be clear. It's just of your local choice. We're asking that 10% go towards community enhancements, at least 10%. You can spend more on that, if you want, and 4% to safe routes to school. So some jurisdictions may choose to spend 75% of their 50% of the pie on community enhancement because they don't have the pavement index that you have. Others may spend only 10% because they have, you know, a lot of work to do on their roads.
I guess the question I have is the other 50%. It's basically you got to get SLOCOG to approve off on any funds to go to the regional projects, the other things you have.
No, they'll be embedded in the measure.
These
projects will be embedded in the measure, and these are projects that we're proposing to move forward with.
Can I ask a question? And when I look at this table, too, on page 4, it speaks to $573K going to Morro Bay, mm-hmm. and it talks about 4.6% of the pie, the 50% of the pie. Can we honestly expect to get 4.6% of the other 50%? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Equity with the other half of is what you're asking for?
Because I can compare this to Measure Q real easy. It's a 0.5% sales tax. I know what City of Morro Bay generates based on sales revenue or sales tax as a result of that. So it seems to me for Morro Bay, you'd at least want to come in somewhere close to that figure as you go down the road. And I think it's around $900K that we see a year on Measure K funds, which or Measure Q funds, which it would seem appropriate if you're getting approximately 4% or so of the other 50%, you'd probably be a push, and I can agree with this whole. I think it's a laudable thing. I really do. I'm familiar with SBCAG, both Measure D and then Measure A after that on its heels, and I think it works well. It really does. It's the devil in the details that you're trying to figure out what comes to our
This presentation doesn't include the breakout of the dollar amounts of the 15%, but there's a big chunk of change going towards your region in the Morro Bay Cayucas Connector project. And we were in meetings today with all of the public works directors from around the entire county, and I want to say it was like $7 or $8 million?
I believe so, yes.
It's a fairly large.
Right. So there is equitable distribution of funds has always been kind of a silent motto of SLOCOG. Right. And especially with a measure like this, we realize that we have to make sure that everybody feels like they're getting something. And so that definitely has played a big role in the programming of the funds. But so what I would say to that is, the local choice money is based on population. We added in a base of $150,000 a year because we wanted to make sure the smaller jurisdictions were actually getting something they could do something with. But that equity on the other side will come back to you in the form of the coastal trail work.
That's fair enough. It's just in Morro Bay, we have a real small population, but we have a very heavy touristed side where sales tax revenue is probably above, say, some of the unincorporated areas of the county where there is no commercial development. So that's why I'm trying to get my arms around, so to speak.
Sure.
What we could honestly expect in that other 50%. I don't have a problem with the 50%, how they broke it out on the, the local roadside. So in any case, thank you.
You're welcome. I will say, too, that Janine worked with the transit programming department to make sure that that was equitable as well, because the original formula based on riders and we altered it to make sure that because you have the deviated route system, which doesn't really take into account the cost that you incur, and so.
Right, and as I think Ron or maybe it was Pete was putting it today, we're a little dog with a bunch of big dogs. So you have Slow City, you have RTA that are much larger services and percentage of population and road miles and whatnot, and then Morro Bay, we're this very little thing here. So in order to try to get something that would provide Morro Bay for the fixed route services, something that we could actually try to do some sort of expansion and what that might be, they altered that little formula a little bit to have a base amount plus then the percentage. So and as Stephanie said, the equity issue has always been something that SLOCOG has strived to achieve over the years, and so that was a
well, the base amount really helps because, like I say, when you look at our percentage population, we'll come into Morro Bay on Saturday, and it's not 10,000 people in this town, and so that's why I was a little bit concerned when I first read it. Thank you.
Yep. So I don't know if you want to go to the next slide, Rob.
Yeah.
So as you all are familiar with the one sheet that that's in front of you, you're going to get $573,668 a year to local choice. What you choose to do with it is totally up to you, which is a little bit more than $5 million over the 9 years, plus, as I mentioned, the regional projects that will come out of a different pot of money. So what Rob wants to talk to you about today, I think, is these list of projects that we have here. And your city council was interested to hear if you agreed with the projects that were on the list. And I don't know if you're going to go to your next slide, which has another list, or if you want to work off this one.
We'll just work off this list.
Okay.
Here. It's the same list that's in the agenda pack, basically. So these... with the exception of street road maintenance, these projects are in our regional transportation plan. So they've been vetted through the process. They are also in some form or another in our circulation element of our general plan. So the Harbor Walk extension is one of them, which... some people call the Embarcadero Promenade, or it's...
tell me what you want to call
it.
Yeah.
We have the downtown Embarcadero Connector. That's that Centennial Parkway component that we're working on. Regional projects that we are in the mix that don't come out of our 50% of local money would be the Highway 41 main Highway 1 intersection improvements, and then the Morro Bay Cayucas Trail. Those are the projects that we believe as staff are, and after discussion with the mayor's group, the city managers, that we feel are in our best interest to put forward, along with local street and road maintenance.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are you asking us, are there other things that we're aware of that may should be added to the list? Or
yes, or do you concur?
I guess for me, and I always worried about this, and now that the state's doing absolutely nothing, is trying to create a bike path around Morro Bay State Park. I think that's probably one of the creepiest places to have to ride a bike in this town. I wish Rick was still here. I'm sure he would have concurred with me. And that's other than that, I'm good with everything else you have on here.
I have one to add that I'm thinking is street and road maintenance is just the surfaces of them, right? Because it's not the intersection like at San Jacinto and Main.
I think they include.
Is that included up there?
That would be one of our potential safe routes to school projects.
Oh.
It's number four here.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different slide than what's in your pack.
You might have a readout to it. I would bring those.
So you'll see some improvements happening this year there in the next couple of weeks. I think we can rely on some dry weather. You'll see some green paint on the going in the bike lane to better direct the school traffic through that intersection there.
I think my question is just: is this a priority list for this year's funding? And then we would go through this process again next year?
In 9 years.
Or is this over 9 years?
This is over 9 years.
Over 9 years.
Yes.
Okay.
I may have missed this in the fine print somewhere, but was there consideration on parking in town, especially when you consider things like the connection between downtown and the Embarcadero and catering to tourists? At some point, people run out of places to park, and then they need transport from one part of town to the other.
Not in this program. We didn't really consider parking. We brought forward revisions to our parking management plan to council, and we were proposing to make some changes to parking to add additional parking in the streets by converting parallel parking to diagonal parking, like our adopted parking management plan said, and council directed us to take a pause on that. The plan was adopted by a different council 8 years ago. The city really hadn't implemented anything, and it may have been a surprise to some that weren't around when the plan was adopted that we were actually directed to do diagonal parking in the downtown.
And you still collect in-lieu parking
fees. We still collect in-lieu parking, so that's a source of funding for that. So if you're a business and need to expand and you cannot build any more parking spaces, you have an opportunity to pay in-lieu parking fees. So you pay $15,000 per space to go into a fund that allows the city to expand its municipal parking facilities. So we've added 33 spaces, I think we finally got out of that lot, at Pacific and Monterey. We restriped that lot a little bit differently than it was across the street from the D'Stasio's restaurant.
Yeah.
That is now a public parking lot, so we've added those spaces.
Great.
And we're looking for additional opportunities. But that will be funded out of our parking in lieu funds.
Okay, great. So there are
dedicated funds for parking.
And people are, and the city is looking at lots that, you know, may or may not be privately owned and how they might be able to
obtain
those.
Correct. Okay. And a lot of this will come out of the downtown strategic plan that our planning department is working on right now that will basically vision the downtown and direct us to those. And it will be a fairly quick process. It won't go on as long as the complete general plan LCP. This is a short piece that we're trying to jumpstart out of that process.
Great, thanks.
Robert, I see we have some signs going up around that says cross traffic does not stop and so on, and that's great. And I think that as part of all of this, we need to identify some signage that we need to put up to direct traffic in various places. If it's full on the Embarcadero, where do they go next? You know, do they go out to the Rock? Do we provide a jitney to get them back to the Embarcadero? What about Old Town? And some sign identification where they are. It would also be good to have a some sort of a neon sign or a sign up where we can see what we're doing in the city. You know, this is a maybe a fluorescent sign, maybe one of Limo's, maybe commandeer a Limo's sign once or twice a week and put some public service messages on it so that people know. People aren't aware of what we're doing and what the city's doing, so that would be a good feature to have up.
We would need to change our city sign ordinance to allow a changeable message board sign for that to happen, which is probably going to happen.
I would assume that this money would not cover signage. Would that be?
No, you can use this money for signage if you choose to, if your local funds.
You
sure.
could.
On
okay.
the 50%
yeah. On the 50% local
yeah.
share.
So when we do street paving, we generally redo the striping along with it. So the striping and signage would be part of that. Part of the local streets, I'll call it the local streets gumbo, because there will be this component in it, there will be some Measure Q in it, and there will be some general fund money in that. So there will be multiple funding sources for our local streets and roads. And for example, this year we have approximately $20,000 for sign replacements in our city budget. So we replace and add signs. So you saw some dead end signs that went up at that piece of Quintana that doesn't really go anywhere. If you drive up the hill there, we had some recent folks with big motorhomes trying to get turned around up there, and so we added a couple of dead-end signs. You'll see in the next week or so a no right turn on red at that same intersection there to try to open up the gaps there. But those are local projects that we will be used, but that's a fairly small portion of our street maintenance budget. Because pavement is based on oil prices, paving the streets is usually the higher dollar component of that.
One thing I did want to ask, and a lot of times my information's a little dated, but I got the feeling you were stating the state highway tax is not a fixed amount per gallon, but fluctuates with the price of gas. I thought it was a fixed amount per gallon. And only the sales tax was the one that fluctuates.
I believe the federal is fixed, but I thought the state
did. The state go floating? I thought it was a fixed amount. It used to be. I know that.
I'm not the professional on the sales tax.
Okay.
That would have been James or Ron.
Okay. Because that's what I heard early on in the presentation, the price played in. And I know it does on the sales tax side, but
I know
I
they
thought
switched
the two,
to an excise
I thought the Fed
tax
and the state were
at
fixed.
Some point, but I don't know.
Okay. It says in the notes for this slide, the state gas tax is adjusted every July 1st.
Oh, okay.
It is going down again in July, I believe.
Yes.
So they're doing it yearly now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's based on like the state controller's office or something. It's.
So in 2000.
Because when gas is cheap, it seems to me they'd sell more gas. And if they sell more gas and it's a fixed rate, they'd be actually getting more money to the state. But I digress. In any case, I know the fight you're fighting. I really do. I saw it in SBCAG, 20 years ago when they started the whole Measure D funds. And I think it is a good thing. I really do. And I can support it. Thank you.
It's really night and day if you compare Santa Barbara County's local streets and roads to San Luis Obispo's County's local streets and roads, and I attribute that to their self-help initiative that's been in place for over 20 years.
Yeah.
We should let you continue.
Sorry.
I think we're close to the end.
Yes, we are. One slide left. Basically, this just outlines next steps. So we have been to your city council, and we were in Pismo and Paso Robles last night and at the Board of Supervisors yesterday. We are in Atascadero and Rio Grande next week. We're doing the same presentation. Then we go back to our SLOCOG board in May, and we say, here's all the feedback we've gotten from the jurisdictions. What do you think? Let's round this expenditure plan out. Then we work to finalize the expenditure plan. We take it to SLOCOG again, and they say, this looks good. We approve this. Go take it back out to all the cities. And then we come back and we ask all the cities to ask the Board of Supervisors to put it on the ballot. So we need a majority of the people in the majority of the cities. And then we go back to the Board of Supervisors, and we ask them to put it on the ballot for November. So that's the process.
Well, I'm sure we have questions, additional questions
okay.
beyond the ones that we've
and
already
just,
had.
I'm not sure, does everybody know a little bit about SLOCOG? There are regional transportation planning organization. The board is made up of a representative, typically the mayor of each city, and then the Board of Supervisors. There's a non-voting member, the Caltrans district director that sits on the board. Is that? And Ron DeCarli is the executive director of that board. The public works directors meets and transit operators or planning directors meet as a technical advisory committee, and we meet about once a month. Sometimes we take a month off here and there. And then there's another TAC, which
Social Services TAC,
which is made up of Janine is, I think, the chair.
I have been.
She has been.
It's a group made up of representatives from various social services groups, as well as I'm one of the representatives from RTAC, which is the Regional Transportation Advisory Committee, to the RTA. So I'm on that committee for RTA, and I'm the representative for that committee to the social services group that's the advisory to the COG.
We also have senior representation on that group.
Yes.
And then we have a citizen technical advisory committee as well. I'm not sure if you know that. They're meeting right now, as a matter of fact. And those people are all appointed by the board, every jurisdiction, and the board of supervisors appoint someone to the citizen advisory committee.
So that's, in a nutshell, what SLOCOG is. We probably should have opened up with that.
I did. You were fixing the slides.
Okay.
I gave him a little spiel.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I heard an echo.
All right. Any more questions? Jan?
I just had a quick one. Caltrans still collecting state highway tax. Are they matching funds with some of the work being done on the highways if you take it on, like, say, that roundabout? Or is it purely local funds going to?
That roundabout will be purely local funds. Because
even though it's their highway.
Even though it's their highway.
Right. I mean, it's regional funds.
Regional funds, but.
Well, what I meant local, I meant Slo County.
Yeah, no. Caltrans only has money for safety and maintenance now. So when you see Caltrans doing capacity increasing projects in Southern California, Los Angeles is paying Caltrans to do that work with their tax measure money.
Wow.
It's that bad.
Jan?
I don't have any questions, but can I make comments now about this?
Yeah. Well, you can if you'd like, or we could ask questions first and then bring it back. So why don't we just ask questions and then bring it back? You don't have any questions? Okay. Dave?
Just a quick one, Rob. I like that shirt. Where'd you get it? I like the color of it. You can answer off camera later.
Stu.
Just a question. The self-help county concept has been around for, I think you said, 20 years or more?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Does it have any effect on the gas tax sharing and the rest of the revenue that we get, or is that independent of it?
It's completely independent of it.
So it allows us to
have our own
legislative
local
vehicle that we can use to fix various things and improve our county.
Yeah, it gives you locally controlled funds to leverage against, like, any state funds should they come back. You know, you can always try to maximize your funds, but it's completely separate from any state tax, gas tax money.
And if we have a fiscal emergency like happened many years ago in the state, they're not going to take that money from us. It belongs to the county
that.
Of San Luis Obispo.
I believe this came up in Pismo Beach last night. It's Prop 22. Was passed in 2010, which prohibits the state from taking any of these funds.
Do we receive anything from license fees at all from DMV, or is that?
We do receive SAFE. They're called SAFE funds. They're the DMV $1 license fee. Those are regionally controlled funds, and SLOCOG manages those funds. They're primarily only allowed to be used for, I believe, traveler assistance type projects. So SAFE funds go to fund our region's 501 program and then park and ride lots, things like that.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Could you answer for me how you came up with the distribution formula, the 50% local, the 25% regional, 15% bike and pedestrian safety? And
sure. Yeah, I mean, it was all directly related to the public engagement campaign. I will be frank with you. When we first started this process, I'd say the SLOCOG staff programming department would have preferred that the regional pot be a lot bigger than it actually turned out to be. But when they went out and talked to the public, they realized, okay, that's not going to work. You know, we know as a region we have some very serious issues with regard to congestion that are only going to get worse. But what the people really want is locally controlled dollars for street and road repair. And so at the end of the day, that 50% came from the consultant analyzing the findings of the public engagement and the polls.
Okay. Great. Yeah, I was more interested in the 15% for bike and pedestrian safety, which it seemed to me that those would be less expensive projects, so it could be a smaller proportion of the pie. But
they're actually quite expensive.
Are they?
Yeah. So, like, as I mentioned before, I think there's like $7 million. I think it's like $1 million a mile or something for Bob Jones. It's very expensive to build.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's different types of bike improvement projects. Right. You know, a lot of the public that we spoke to, in fact, the County Bicycle Advisory Committee, I spoke with them, they were in favor of street and road money because they believe in complete streets and they're happy with class two on the side of the road bike facilities. But our region in particular is very drawn to these class one bike paths like the Bob Jones, the Morro Bay, Cayucas, and the Tascadero-Templeton connectors, and those are expensive projects to build.
Okay. Well, just look at our bike bridge, a couple million dollars project, and it got us a few hundred feet.
Thank you. I do have a question for Rob. Just for the moment, I'm assuming that if this 0.5% tax were to be approved by the voters, that Morro Bay would be in a difficult situation to then go back to our voters to ask for any more money for street paving. Would you like to comment on that?
I only have a personal opinion about that. It probably would be a difficult sell. I'm not an expert in elections and polling.
But I mean, this would seem to be our best hope to get some money for streets in Morro Bay at this point in time.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Discussion?
And now I have a question. Before I make the comment. When we were doing that bridge, it seemed like some of the paperwork that came out that we were talking about, it talked about how the money was coming from SLOCOG and we'd been on the list for a long time. But some of the funding from SLOCOG also came from fines that companies paid for getting too many carbon emissions in the air.
Like cap and trade funds?
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any cap and trade on that project.
No.
But we do manage a small amount of money that comes to us.
That's what I was leading to. So you do get money from the cap and trade, not just from the gas.
We get a tiny bit, and it's very specific. It's a transit only funds, I believe. And the last time we programmed it, I'm not in that programming department, but I believe the last time we programmed those dollars, the rules surrounding those funds, they had to be an expansion of service. And so the dollars, those LCTOP dollars that came to our region went to RTA for a new line in Grover Beach, I believe.
Oh, okay. That's probably where I read it, on the RTA paper. Okay, my comment now. I saw this presentation at the council meeting last week, and I heard some of the public comments then, and I know some people were saying that we should keep lobbying the state to get our money back. But after listening to this two times now, it seems like there's no money there, so what's the point of lobbying? So it's just we can let our streets decay more and wear down more and try to be on the principle of the thing, get our money back, because it's the principle. So it seems like that I agree that that's not, that we need to do the tax instead of continuing the lobbying. That's just my comment on that. And another, when I've talked to people about this, they're very skeptical. Yeah, they say they're going to get this, but, you know, we're not going to see the money. And so I was very glad to see the guaranteed expenditures in there and the safeguards that are built in, and that there will be people to make sure that that's what we get, right?
There will be a citizen oversight and annual audits. And we've gone so far as to identify projects even in the unincorporated areas of the county, which I don't know if anybody has done that, but that was a really, really strong message that we heard from places like Cambria, Cayucas, Chandon. We went to Santa Margarita. We went to every unincorporated area. And I'd say that message resonates the most in those areas of the county. And because of that, the expenditure plan is going to identify projects in each one of those unincorporated parts of the county, in addition to the amount of money they're going to put towards maintenance in those parts of the county. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get as specific as possible so people can actually see the projects that relate to them and to their community.
And then just one more thing. So now, just to sort of summarize this, if we're a self-help county and we have this money, then that puts us in a better if money comes up that we have to provide matching funds for, then the county supports it, like, or we have it from our pocket, like matching funds for the Highway 40.
So that would be one example of use of the local funds. So the our 50%, or let me pick one of the smaller examples. The community enhancements, the probably the amount that we'll collect of that portion, if we just settled with that portion, isn't enough to actually build the improvements that would be needed for the Centennial connection between downtown. But it would serve as a good local match to other competitive programs. And when you're bringing local money to the game, it always fares better than if you don't have any skin in the game and you're relying all on grant money.
Okay. So this would make us possibly
more competitive
to get grants.
Yes.
Thanks. Okay. So on those comments, and it just seems like there's really no choice if we want to get the roads, then I could be behind this, and I would recommend that we go ahead and try to get it on the ballot. That's my comment. Stephen.
No, I think it's a very good idea. My only concern was I didn't want to wind up Morro Bay subsidizing other areas of the county as a result of this, and it doesn't sound like that's the intent of what they're trying to do. I just hope staff can get their share of the regional pie, because you do have to get that other side of the 50% too in order to make it be a wash, so to speak, to the citizens of Morro Bay, because we are a town with very poor road conditions compared to a lot of the other cities here in SLO County. So I didn't want to get into the subsidization game if we go ahead and support this. I could support it. I've dealt with it, like I said, with SBCAG, and I think it is a good way to try and promote improving the roads in any given county.
And I think the important thing with those regional projects is deliver a project that's ready to construct, not just wait until you think the money's available, but you have to be continuing to move forward on those projects and have them shovel ready so when the money becomes available, you have a project to show for it.
Okay. David.
I think it sounds very conscientious towards serving the common good of our community while trying definitely to financially impact individual citizens as little as possible. So I like it very much.
Okay. Stu.
I think advanced planning is an important element of this too. And of course, we can walk around and drive around here and identify areas that need to be looked at and so on. I'm sure staff is well along the way to doing this. My question would be, if this does pass in November, when does the spigot open, and when would we be able to start moving ahead on the projects we'd identified?
I believe they're anticipating the funds would start flowing as soon as January. And what happens immediately after the measure, should it pass, is the SLOCOG programmers and all of the local TAC members will start working on a strategic plan of how to roll out sort of the funding, because you don't have to just take the highway projects aren't going to be ready to go until the end of the 9-year span. And so that frees up a lot of money up front for us to get a lot of the local projects done that you may need a little bit more than you're going to get in the first year, but maybe we can advance 2 or 3 years so you can get that one really big project done in the first 3 years. So if the measure should pass, then the next part would be figuring out how, like a capital improvement plan for the funds so that we can get some projects built right away.
I just want to add, our highway project will be ready to go when the funds are available.
Yes, it will be ready to go.
It's more of a modest project as opposed to some of the other larger highway projects.
Yeah.
That's great. Are we going to be identifying what we're going to be doing on the website as we move down toward
November? Yes, and it'll move forward to this board, too, as we move forward with these projects.
And maybe get a little brochure out like we did with the with the WRF and that kind of thing, so citizens know.
We'll have support. A citizen oversight committee that'll do that for the region as a whole, but we'll look to you guys to publicize it to your own communities, of course. In terms of like an annual report type document that shows what you've spent the money on, is that what you're referring to?
I think Stu's referring to more of an expenditure plan, how we plan on spending the money and making sure that we inform our citizens that, yes, this is what your tax dollars will be going towards.
We have a website that's not up yet, but the link is live, so you can write it down. It's selfhelpslow.org. And as the expenditure plan rolls out, selfhelpslow.org will have all of the listing of projects from each jurisdiction, as well as the details on the regional projects. But that would be the URL that you would visit to learn more about where the money is going.
Great.
But what it won't have that we'll do ourselves is the local streets and roads component of street maintenance.
Yep.
So we, in the June meeting, you'll see that that street summit where we'll detail out what we're doing with street maintenance in the upcoming year.
Will you be able to borrow against general funds to start a project, knowing you'll get the money back as it goes through, you know, the collection from SLOCOG?
This money is not bondable because the term of it is short, but our local funds are bondable. So that's something we'll have to talk
about. No, I meant borrowing actually from the general fund, not going out to borrow.
If I could convince our Citizen Finance Committee and our finance director, which...
Well, when you have a known source of where your money's going to come from, sometimes that helps.
But we will be working, all joking aside, we will be working with the Citizens Finance Committee and our finance director on the best way to leverage these funds and get them on the ground as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and I just wanted to compliment you on all of the hard work that you have undertaken to put this together, because clearly you have done your homework, and it shows in all of the focus groups that you've run, and you have a pretty good feel for the passage of the sales tax. So I'm hopeful that you will also have a campaign to educate and alert citizens about it so that you can push this through. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's time that we did become a self-help county in San Luis. So I'm certainly in favor of it also, and we will address the issue of how to spend the local streets money later. So I won't bring that up now, but thank you. Do I have a motion of some kind, or do you want something from us, Rob?
If you feel that you want to make a motion, that's good. I took some notes regarding one thing to look at would be the State Park Bike Path as an alternative project, and we'll be refining that list. That could also be a local project.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll let you just take notes and transfer that to the City Council.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And thank you very much, Stephanie. Future agenda items. I see there's some on the list here.
Yes, we tried to populate that to get in the habit of that, since next year we'll have a lot of future agenda items, as you saw from our proposed work plan that details out the council's objectives. The key item on here, as I keep saying it over and over again, is the street summit, and that is scheduled a little bit firmer than tentatively. It will be at our June meeting.
So it was changed from September, and I just needed to ask you why you did move it from September to June.
To more coincide with the local streets initiative measure, in case there's questions about that, to get a jump start on our fall paving program, rather than waiting till September to do that.
Okay.
Other things that we're looking at is probably in conjunction with an action from our Recreation Commission, looking at our memorial bench, our tree, and our bike rack programs, and how to best move those forward. We have a very loose Adopt a Street, Adopt a Park program that we will be looking to better formalize, that we'll be bringing forward to this board in the near future, maybe in our May meeting.
And I do need to report that I think you've also received an email from a gentleman about the roundabout, a new yield sign in the roundabout.
A new yield sign?
Yes.
Oh, the design of the yield sign.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. And I just wanted to bring that, mention that. I know that this gentleman also wrote to the city council.
Yes.
And, on the, and I wanted to just say that I have problems every time I go through that roundabout with cars entering off of the highway there. And they do not yield to people, to cars in the roundabout. So I liked the new sign design with yield to cars in the circle.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's possible to change or if you, if...
We like to follow the manual on uniform traffic control devices because it keeps us out of jail.
And that is not on the list?
That is not a approved sign. So we'll be working with our legal counsel on that one.
Okay, because it seems to me it's more important to prevent an accident than to stick with the required sign, but that's just my opinion. All right, well, I wanted to mention it as a possible... I don't know that we need it as an agenda item, but I did want people to know that we recognize when citizens write to us. With that, unless there's anything else, we will adjourn to our next meeting, which will be held Wednesday, May 18th in this room. So thank you all very much. Meeting is adjourned.